grateful for your presence tonight and pray that you have come for no other purpose than to study another portion of God's Word tonight, that we can study things, that we can add them to our lives, that we can be more pleasing in His sight. When Hal called me and he said, we're going to be out of town, would you be interested in filling in for me? I said, sure. But I noticed my name wasn't in the bulletin until this morning. All right. So many of you that I have a reputation, if you don't know by now, I have a reputation that I am the word study guy. But I got news for you. Tonight, we're not going to do a word study. I have a question for you. If I were to ask each of you individually, are we special? Are we a special people? Am I a special person? Are you special? I asked Keith about this Wednesday night. That could be why he's not here tonight, but I asked him Wednesday night just to make sure that we were on the same page and not going to be preaching the same thing. Excuse me. But are we special? And his answer, well, he thought for just a second. He said, well, we're sanctified. And you know, that's correct. We are sanctified. Sanctified being set apart. I want to start tonight. That's the question that I want us to ask. I want to ask you, I want you to think about this while I go through my lesson tonight. Are we special people? First of all, I want to look, since the majority of us here, and I would say just about every one of us here tonight, are Christians. We have been bought by the blood of Christ. We've had our names added to the Lamb's Book of Life. We know that from Acts chapter 2. It's not an organization that you can join. You are added by the Lord, which means He can also take you away if necessary. But that's our choice. That is our choice. We are free moral agents. The significance of being a Christian. First of all, we are reborn in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. We are new creatures. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, some 40 years ago, and I won't go exactly how many 40 years ago, because I'd be putting a little bit of age on myself, I became a new creature. I became a new creation. And thank God I had a brother at the time that was willing to sit down with me and teach me the truth, which we should be doing that whenever we have the opportunity. Sit down with those who are not Christians and try to tell them the good news. The old has passed away, so I might look 60 plus years, but I'm really my mid-40s. That's okay. Behold, the new has come. We become new creatures once we become Christians. We have been born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And Peter writes, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That was God's plan all along. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's one of our jobs as Christians. We are to love each other. We are to love each other. As I've seen it before, that we are to have God first in our lives. God first, others second, and then ourselves last. So we are to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And what we have is a completed Word, like Keith mentioned this morning. This is all we need. He mentioned about there might be some new law, some new covenant, some new testament that we have to worship when we get to heaven. Well, if that happens, that's great. That would be awesome. As long as we get to heaven, that we can do that. So we are new creatures, living and abiding through the Word of God. We have a new loyalty, and that is to serve Jesus. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a personal thing. He gave himself for me. He went to the cross, took my sins, every one of my sins on him. It's like we've been mentioned before. I think Brother talked about that in the Lord's Supper talk. When we sin, did we drive the nails into Christ? He took them upon us, every one of us. Every one of our sins, he took upon him. So we have a new loyalty. We serve Jesus. That's where our loyalty should be. Once we become Christians, we turn that our lives over to Christ and over to God. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is Peter talking, this is Paul comments to the Corinthians. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And that price was his Son coming to this earth, giving himself willingly to die for us on the cross. He gave himself for me. You are not your own, for you were bought with that price. So glorify God in your body. Present your body as a living sacrifice to God and to Jesus. We have been bought at a price. Consequently, we belong to the Lord. We are no longer our own person anymore. We belong to the Lord. Now, this has many significances attached to it. One is, a Christian is what we are. We are God's special people. So if the answer to my question tonight, are we special people? Yes, we are. We are God's special people. Peter describes us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Now, most of these scriptures, we may know them by heart, but I hope that you'll follow along so that I make sure that I present them correctly. Some of the things that we are now, since we are Christians, we are a chosen race. A chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a people for his own possession, that we might proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you're Christians, so you have received mercy. And that's the one thing we should hope for. We should hope for mercy. Because as hard as we try to please God, we are human. Brother Larry, I've mentioned this time and time again in his prayers, and I appreciate this so much, mentions how hard if we try, we still fall short because we are human. We are human. The human part of us takes over. But God, through the mercy that he sends us, when we repent of the things that we have done, he forgives them and he remembers them against us no more. These are terms once reserved. These were once reserved for the physical nation of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 15 says, "Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day." So he chose the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel. We also see that we're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus chapter 19. On the third moon, verses 1 through 5, on the third moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai. And they encamped in that wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And we know from Genesis that God created the earth and everything in it in 6 24-hour days. Not thousands of years or millions of years, as scientists might want you to understand or want you to believe, but 6 24-hour days. Our God is awesome. He could have done it in one day if it had been His will. But He did it. He chose to do it the way He did it. And He knows best. He knows what the best way to do things. And thank God He does. Thank God He does. They became a special people above all other nations in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of this earth. But we see what happened. We've been studying in our adult class in the mornings. We've seen what happened to the physical nation of Israel. They didn't remember God. So what did He do? They rebelled. They sinned. They rebelled. They sinned. They rebelled. So what did God do? God used heathen nations to come in and take them over. And He told them, He says, go with these nations. Go into their countries. Be my people while you're there. And I will bring you back. It may not be in your lifetime. It may be in your children's lifetime or your children's children. But they will come back to their land, to their homeland, to their promised land. Didn't do any good. Didn't do any good. They kept forgetting. We noticed that the prophets would preach whatever they wanted, whatever the people thought they wanted to hear. Smooth things, easy things, not necessarily the truth. People did not want to hear that. They did not want to hear how hard their lives were going to be. But that's what happens when you're not obedient. We also see that what once had been limited to physical Israel is now possible to all people who are in Christ Jesus. We now have the opportunity to have what was promised to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Now, you know, the Jewish people, Pharisees in particular, they would not have had that back then. They would not have gone along with that. The Gentiles would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations, not few, not some, but all nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith, which applies to us today, who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And also verses 28 and 29 of the same chapter. And we see there God shows no favoritism, no partiality. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, no male, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Everybody that walks this earth today has the opportunity for salvation. Be nice if everyone could just sit down and read. Read. The Bible is so simple. So simple. It tells you what to do. And then so many people want to change the words. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. We are a special people. Not we were or we will be, but we are a special people. But being special people brings special responsibilities. The first one that I found is we are to proclaim the praises of God. And going back, if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, being the chosen race, being a royal priesthood, being a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that would be walking in darkness. Have you ever been sitting in a room and when it was so dark that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face? Now, I have not, but I have heard people that have been there, and they say that it is frightening. It is frightening. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And it's up to us to go out and proclaim the good news, to proclaim the gospel It's up to us to go out and spread the word, sow the seed. But don't worry about the increase. God will take care of the increase. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He showed mercy and made us the people of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11 says, "For if these qualities are yours, our qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." Keep God in your hearts. Keep God in your hearts. "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We are to grow in our knowledge. How do we grow in knowledge? Is it something that's just going to, you know, if we're just sitting there and then all of a sudden it's just going to be like, there it is? No. No, and that's, I think sometimes people may get discouraged with that. They say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a brand new Christian. And I'm just not getting it. I'm just not getting it. Well, that takes time. It takes time. You can sit there, and I know I've sat there and read Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, read it over and over and over again. And all of a sudden it's like, God, give me the wisdom to understand what I'm reading. Read it again, again. And you know, it's like a light went off. The marvelous light went off. It made sense. God's Word makes sense. God's Word makes sense. And I will sit there and sometimes and listen to people on television that start talking about the Bible. And I want to ask them, I want to call them up and say, hey, what Bible are you preaching from? What Word are you studying? What are you trying to present? Are you just trying to hit the masses so that they'll send you a check? You're going to pay for that. I'm sorry. And if you don't change your ways, you're going to be at judgment. You'll be one of those that tell God, look what we did in your name. Look at all that we accomplished in your name. And it's going to be sad because he's going to tell them, say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's going to be sad. That's why we need to make sure that what we hear is the truth and what we practice and what we preach is the truth. We are to make our calling and election sure. Therefore, we will have that abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12. The Hebrew writer, and we think it's Paul, but we're not sure. That's a question I want to ask him when I get to heaven. Did you write the book of Hebrews? "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Hang on to God. Hang on to Christ. Hang on to what you got. "For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. For who are those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses?" And we remember that. We remember them being led out by Moses, got in the wilderness. What happened to them? What happened? They looked and they said, we had it so much better in Egypt. There was food in Egypt. But they forgot about having the hard work, having to make bricks without straw, or having to go out and gather their own straw to make the bricks. They forgot about the taskmasters that would beat them. They forgot about that. "And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, because of this, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should have seemed to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they did not benefit them. They heard. The message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. It's hard. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. So let us become hard. Let us not become hard-hearted. Let us be aware and not lose our faith, or we may not enter that rest that awaits us. Then if you would go down to Hebrews chapter 4 again, also in verse 11. Let us, it's talking about let us Christians, let us therefore strive to enter that rest that's waiting for us now, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active. Mine is living and active. I hope yours is too. God's word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, is that talking about this thing right here that beats blood and pumps blood through the body? No. It's talking about our minds. It's talking about our minds. So we need to make sure what we have inside our minds. So, best thing to do, keep on reading and studying your word. And that way you'll have those good thoughts. You'll have those intentions. You'll know what God has planned for you and what He expects of us, what He expects us to do. We are truly special. There we go. We are special people, but we are truly special. We belong to the Lord, and we are God's. We are God's beloved people. Romans chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That's a title that we carry. We're saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in the world. Now, I hope that when people talk about the congregation here at East Hill, and we talk to people out there all the time, they say, well, you know, where do you go to church at? And I'll tell them, I say, well, I go to the Church of Christ that meets at East Hill. And they say, well, do y'all worship correctly? I say, we worship according to what the New Testament teaches us to worship. That's how we're supposed to worship, you know. We don't have instruments of music. We partake of the Lord's Supper the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, because He rose on that day. We worship according to the gospel that He left us. And I pray that never changes, that we will stay firm, that we will stay firm in the Word. We know that God's love for us is more evident when we realize that not only special, but we are God's beloved children. Now, in one sense, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, all people are God's children, because He created us. He created all mankind. Turn to Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 29. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet actually He is not far from each one of us. He's as close to us as we want Him to be. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed His offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. We are so truly blessed. In another sense, though, which is it's sad. It is very sad to say. Most people in the world today do not have God as their Heavenly Father. Is it ignorance? Are they living in a land? Now, we are fortunate. We live here in the United States of America. This country was founded on religious freedom. But if you read the news and look at the newspapers or listen to the news shows, it seems like it's getting farther and farther away from that. And hopefully, our leaders will be able to pass laws that we will still be able to enjoy our religious freedoms without fear of persecution. And hopefully we will never see the day that it does not change. Most people do not have God as their Father. John chapter 8, verses 42 through 44. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here." Now we know that most of the religious world at that time were looking. The Pharisees and all those religious leaders, they were looking for Jesus. They were looking for the Messiah. But he didn't come in the way that they thought, pomp and circumstance. He came to poor parents. He was born in a manger. "I came not, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." They would have had to change the way they were doing. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth." He doesn't want us to know the truth today. He wants to tweak it just enough where it sounds easier, it sounds better, the ending is going to be better. But if we add to or take away from God's word, we are not pleasing. We'll have our names taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Reason being, because there is no truth within him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar. Another name for the devil is the father of lies. Father of lies. He would just soon tell you a lie, tell you the truth. He's not going to tell you the truth. We are God's children because of our faith, having put Christ on in baptism. And then we know the scripture, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." Reason being, we had the faith to believe the word, that we heard the word. God, and it told us, the word told us that we were in sin, that we had to get rid of that sin, that we had to repent. We had to confess. We had to make that great confession. Then we had to be baptized. What does the world tell you about baptism? It's not necessary. Baptism is not necessary. You can be saved without being baptized. Not my Bible. What does it say in Mark 16? "He that believeth shall be saved"? No. If you're reading that translation, you need to check your translation. Check your Bible. "He that believeth and," it's two parts. Actually, no, there's more parts, but those are the two listed. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Can't you believe without being baptized? Can't you just say, "Jesus, come into my heart"? Say the sinner's prayer. Show me in the Bible. I want to know where the sinner's prayer is. I've been trying to find it for years. Never found it. But our friends out in the world say, that's all you got to do. Say the sinner's prayer. Invite Jesus into your heart and you're good to go. Baptism is a work. Maybe a work, but it's a work of obedience. And if I'm guilty, yes, I'm guilty of doing obedient things for God. We do the Father's will and Jesus considers us his family. Matthew chapter 12. Oh, back up. I'm sorry. I forgot about a scripture. And Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Abba, Father." Then back to Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. "But he replied to the man who told him, 'Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand," this is Jesus, "toward his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" We are all part of God's family. We are all God's special children. And finally, the expression of God's love should make us realize how special we are. If you would, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And if we're not called anything else in our lifetime after we become Christians, being called a child of God would be the greatest thing that we could be called. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Now, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. It's not been revealed to us. God chose it that way, because there are people that would go out and, you know, do whatever they wanted to do, and they say, well, you know, I've still got about a week. I can go ahead and do what I want to up until that time, and then I can get ready. I can be ready. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be obedient. In order to be one of God's special children in the family of God, you must be a Christian to enjoy the advantages of the love of God. You must be obedient. And once you've become a Christian, you must remain faithful. If there are those out there tonight who have not become children of God, who have not had their names added to the Lamb's Book of Life, who have not been baptized, who have not been buried in the watery grave of baptism, you have that opportunity. And if you're not, I want to ask you, what's stopping you?